it's always the Parsha of Malach falls a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, sometime during Elul. My Hasidic blood in me tells me that it's not a coincidence, and there's always a connection between this and some type of a lesson to be learned from what it comes from. So let's try to understand. It's not just about the fact that we have enemies surrounding us at all times. That lesson does us no good. It's a fact of life and a reality, but that's not the clear lesson that we're supposed to learn from this idea. Ruchaim Shmulevitz in Tzichos Musar speaks about it a bit. I'm going to expand on what he says more than what's just in front of us. We're going to try to understand what we can take out of Amalek. I've spoken in years past about Asher Korchav Aderech, about what it means when Amalek happens upon you. This year, let's concentrate on one of the three Pshatim in Rashi. The word Korcha stems from the word Mikra. That Amalek doesn't want God to be involved in the world. He wants it to be that everything is just a coincidence. It just happens to work out the way that it is. But it's not that there was Hashkafa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making it happen. It just happens to be that these things end up working. See, Amalek's whole job in this world is to create those sphakos within your life, to make you think that it's not really happening when it really is happening. We have a fire within us, and everybody has it. You have that bren, that desire, that drive to do something that's good. And what the Rabbonu Shalom wants from us is to take that bren, that fire, and use it correctly, and use it to the fullest extent, to really fire ourselves up and do what we know we're supposed to do. Amalek's whole job is to cool us down and not let us think that way. Not allow it to happen. And it's such an easy way of doing it. It only takes one snide comment. Just one little laugh after somebody's finished. Just one of those little things, and then everything is destroyed. Everything that you might have built up, everything that you might have been working on, everything you might have said to yourself, this is where I am, and this is where I'm holding, this is what I want to be. Just a little bit, that's all Amalek has to do to destroy literally the entire world. The entire world, for example. And this is the greatest example of Amalek. This is exactly what Amalek did. Bnei Yisrael had just had the Makos, Kriyat Yamsu, Matan Torah. And Amalek is unaffected by any of them. Sure, there were crazy things that happened in Egypt, but I'm sure you can explain it away from blood that somehow came in from a nation that was overturned. An infestation of frogs. That everybody all of a sudden was getting into such dirtiness that there was life. I'm sure you could go ahead and do that. They went ahead and they spoke around when people said, wow, do you see Kriyat Yamsu? Kriyat Yamsu was amazing. We saw these walls of water going up there to Shemayim. Amalek took a look at everybody and said, what, you really think? You really think it was walls of water? It's just an illusion. It was a rainbow that you saw. It was something strange, but it wasn't really that. And as time went on, people got hit by that. Matan Torah, the whole world was silent. And everybody's sitting there, and they're saying, God just gave the Torah to the people. Malik looks at them and says, that wasn't God giving Torah to the people. It just happened to be there was one day where there was something happening. There was something up there in the sky. Some type of a solar eclipse. And it was crazy, and everybody had that effect. So Malik's job is to bring those sphakos in. And as time goes on, and the images aren't vivid in your head, then Amalek's job is even easier. He didn't really see that. And it just takes that one little comment, and then everything the people had built up was there. Let me say it in Az Yashir. Shamu Amim Yirgazun. The people heard this. Shamu Amim Yirgazun. They were trembling. They were afraid. Rochav Azona said to the people when they crossed over, said over to Kalev and Pinchas when they came over to Yericho, we're scared to death of you. We're scared to death of what the Jews have the ability to do, especially if the Yarden would split again. Rochav Azona said, this is exactly what we saw. We're scared out of our minds of what you guys have the ability to accomplish. Amalek doesn't care. Cools everybody off. And that's what it means. Just makes it into a mikra. It makes it as if it's just, it just happened to be. It was just a coincidence. It happened to work out that Bnei Yisrael were walking up to the Yamsu at the exact moment that a hurricane came by and blew up the water into the air. And they convince people and it throws people down. That's what Amalek stands for. But there's an upside here. And really, we're not going to speak about the down that everybody has during a Avinas Matan. But really, what is the upside? What can you get out of this lesson? See, if it only takes a second, one thought, a quick idea to knock you down from the highest of highs, that means it has to work the other way as well. You could be in a really bad situation. A really bad, I don't know, a place where you don't want to be. And all it takes is 1 second, one second, one idea, one comment that brings everything back up. That takes everything and brings it back up to the highest level. The line that's used in the Gemara, surprisingly only in Gemara Avodah Zarah, three times in Gemara Avodah Zarah, is Yesh Kona Olamo B'Shah Achas. People are able to get their whole world, all of Olam Haba, in one second. The famous one, the one that you all know, and the one that you've all heard, is one with Rabbi Hanan ibn Shravin. Hanan ibn Shravin is being burned alive together with the Sefer Torah, and he has sponges of water all on him to be able to keep the heat out so that it takes a long time for him to suffer before he dies. As Hanan ibn Shravin is standing there dying, one of the officers that was around there says, "What would happen if I take off the sponge? If I let you die earlier, what can I guess?" And Ibn Shragan says, "I can promise you a chelik in Olam Haba." And the man did it, and then jumped into the fire after Rabbi Hanan ibn Shragan died, and a paschal comes down from Shemayim. Rabbi Hanan ibn Shragan, and that Sradios Echad, that certain person, they're both Zoka L'chai Olam Haba, they're both Zakin L'Olam Haba. And Bacha Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi cried, and he said, "Yesh Kolo Olamo B'Kom Shua Achaz." How is it possible that people are able to get their Olam in just 1 second? This guy, who knows what he did in his life? This guy might have been the most evil person in the world, but he saw this, decided to work on it, and in 1 second was Kona Olam Haba together with Rebbe Hanan ibn Shragan. Three times that happens in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, of people that were doing unbelievably bad things. But nonetheless, they bring themselves up, they build themselves up, and that's it. All it takes is a tiny little bit of Isurus. Just waking yourself up, allowing yourself to see it just a little bit, and then everything's gone. All those problems, all the issues, everything that's there, all those types of, let's just go from the lowest level, from those issues of Emunah, all the way up to the level of where, I don't understand why we're doing this Gemara. How do I understand this Gemara? I'm losing it a little bit in that. One little second of Isurus, a little bit of a person saying to himself, "You know what? I want to work on myself." Changes everything. Literally everything becomes different. If you want to look up the concept, all the yeshivas of Chofetz Chaim speak about this at length. They call it Gadlus HaAdam. The greatness of a person and his ability to grow in any situation. And there's shmuzim. The shmuzim, one after the other, from Rav Leibowitz, one after the other, deals with how a person can become so great, how a person can build himself to a level that you never thought you were going to be able to be at. I never thought I was going to be able to do this. And I can tell you just from a small experience here, you can see people that have been here in this yeshiva that have grown up to a place where you never imagined this is what they were going to be. Even when they were coming to yeshiva, they came out of Eretz Yisrael, they kind of made their decisions in life, and this is where I'm going to be. And then they leave after a year, 2 years, 3 years, and all of a sudden, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. They decide they're going to stay in learning for a little bit longer. They decide they want to be in Kolel, or they want to learn Smicha, or they just decide they want to be a balabas that's going to make sure that they have a Seder of at least an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. It's difficult to make that decision, but there are so many people, just they had it 1 second, they just said to themselves, "You know what? This is what I'm going to do." And they did it. And they built themselves up, and they made it. That's God will solve. That allows a person to be there. On the highest level, you can see it as a Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel concept of, since his uncle was in the mirror, he visited the mirror, and because of that became the next Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. Not everyone's going to have that ability. Not everyone's uncle will be Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. Not everybody's going to marry their cousin to be involved in the family to get right there. Not everyone's going to have that ability. But at least on a small level, on a micro level, you still have the ability to become that great person without that much. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin. It's mentioned in Daf Test, but it's mentioned earlier in Tosfos. If you're Mekadesh a woman, Al Menas Sh'ani Tzadik. You go up to a woman, Hare At Mekudeshes Li B'Tabas Zu, Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael, Al Menas Sh'ani Tzadik. The Kedushin works. Kedushin works. It's a whole question. It's brought down by the Rishonim. Why does it work? How do we know this guy's a tzaddik? What does it mean that the person's a tzaddik? And the Gemara answers, at the end of the day, Gemara says, Shema hear her tshuva v'daito. Even if the person was a rush up until then, if at that moment he was Makadosh a girl, and he said, Omanas Shani Tzadik, it works, because Shema Hir Tshuva B'Daisa. Maybe he was thinking about doing Tshuva in his mind, and that's good enough, he's Makadosh, it's a Kedushin. This is an issue of arayos. is this woman a married woman? This couldn't deal with chiyuvei misa, and yet nonetheless, the woman is married. It's 100% the lecha mishnah. Ask the kashan, hilchos ishus, perikhes. He asks the following. He says, I don't understand. Why don't we rule the same regarding psui edus? If you have two pasulazim that are watching a kiddushin happen, the kiddushin is not valid. Why is the kiddushin not valid? Why isn't it chal? It should be chal the same way. Maybe the edim had hiruri tshuva b'daitam. Maybe they were thinking about doing tshuvas at that time. They weren't pasul. They were tzaddikim. So why doesn't the kiddushin work even if you have psuliages? Maybe they weren't pasulated at the time. How do you know? That's what he asks. And he says, and don't tell me because then they went back and did what they did afterward. The guy who says, I'm an Ashani Tzaddik, even if he goes back to what he was doing beforehand, it's still a Kiddush and a Tzchal. So what's the Pshat? The Ramam Maharami Padua answers the question. Maharami Padua right there on the page says, the Pshat is that it's different when you say it out loud. We have two Edim that are standing there, and they might have had thoughts of tshuva. You have no guarantee. But says the Maharam, if you have a guy that gets up and says, Amanas Shani Tzaddik, he says it out loud, on condition that I am a Tzaddik. Saying about himself that he's a Tzaddik, it works because since he said it, he wants it to be true, which means at that moment he must have had Yehuri tshuva. He did. He had it in his head. See, but think about that for a second. All it takes is a word to say out loud, I want to be a tzaddik. And it works. That second of Yehuri Tshuva makes you into a tzaddik. That's an amazing concept. It doesn't work if you don't say anything. It doesn't work if you don't have any proof or anything. It works if you say it out loud. And it's a concept, not just an idea that you can use in Musar. It works for halakha. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. La halakha, we can paskin based on this. You can turn a rush into a tzaddik just by saying it. Unbelievable concept. It's an unbelievable concept. And that's what we're saying. You want the brand, you want the ability to get yourself up there and to feel like you can do it? Say it out loud. Say, I want to do this. Say, I want to do it. And even if you don't mean it at first, work on it. Say it more. Say to yourself, this is what I want to do. Say it again and again and again. All of Parshas Nitzavim is talking about tshuva. The whole parsha has a whole idea of how tshuva is supposed to work. And at the end, it says, Lo b'shamayim hi. See, the concept of Lo b'shamayim hi is taken by the Gemara to mean that Torah is not in the heavens. That you'd have to be able to, that you have to understand Torah is right there in front of you. You can always learn, it's always there. But it also has a connotation of tshuva. The whole parsha is talking about tshuva. And really, the way you can learn it is like this. Lo b'shamayim hi means, don't think that tshuva is out of your grasp because you've done so many things that there's no way you're going to be able to do tshuva before them. Don't think you have no ability to work on yourself until the tshuva is gone. It's there. Lo b'shamayim hi. Lo me'ever li'amhi. It's here in front of you, and tshuva is so easy. All you have to do is pick it up and say, this is what I want to do. That's the concept. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya knew this concept. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, that's the other Gemara in Avodah Zarah that mentions. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya was involved in a situation that nobody should ever be in. Nobody should ever be in with the Zona. And he just one second literally of something that the Zona had told them, and he decides, I'm out, I'm done. I'm never going to do this ever again. It's such a crazy idea. Such a crazy idea. And even the Satan knows this. We have that concept of the Satan being ma'orbid. He's messed up on Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, because there is no shofar blast. On Rosh Hashanah, he hears the tekios, mu'madin yushalim, standing up and sitting down. And he's confused. He hears them every year. Can you imagine sitting around with the Satan, being one of his cronies, one of the Malachi Mashtas that are sitting right near the Satan, and the Satan hears the shofar blast in Rosh Hashanah, and he's like, oh, babe, the Jews are going to do tshuva. Mashiach's coming. I'm going to be destroyed. And all the Malachi Mashtas are like, come on. This happens every year. The Jews always hear the shofar. They never do anything with it. They don't do anything. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry. You'll be fine. And the Satan sitting there confused, doesn't know what to do. And the Gemara tells us he even knows this. He's hearing us right now, this stuff. He's listening to us. He's saying, I'm not going to be confused this year. I'm not going to be confused this year. So what's the pshat? What does it mean that he's morbid? What does it mean that he's so confused? Should we keep your answers? Keep your answers. You know what he's so confused about? He's so confused because he knows that just hearing the shofar once can make you do tshuva forever. And not only one person, everyone can. It's not that it won't happen. It's that it's possible. It's very unlikely, but it's possible that you could hear it once and you'll just say from now on, this is what I'm going to do. And then something says, oy vey, I don't know if I can handle this. It's such unbelievable stuff. One shofar blast has the ability to do that for everyone. You can just hear it and you say to yourself, I'm going to be affected forever. If he knows it and the Satan knows it, he's in the orbit from it. How do we not know that? It doesn't have to be the shofar blast. It's just something that we have to say. I'm giving the most famous story in the world. You've heard it 7,000 times. And it's the most famous. I was thinking about using a story from Rav Pesach Krohn about Rav Hanoch Teller's story about something that goes around. I'm giving you the story that everyone knows about the Netziv. Rav Natali Tzvi in Berlin, when he was a child, there were issues. He was a wild kid by his own admission. He said that one time he had come home and his parents thought he was asleep and they were talking and he overheard them talking and he heard them saying, what are we going to do with our son? They said they're going to take him out of yeshiva and they're going to put him to work. He was a young kid still and they were going to put him to work. At least he'll get something out of it. But why should he remain in yeshiva? All these things happening. Like, he's too wild to stay in yeshiva. And the kid says he's burst into the room crying, told his mother and his father he's going to work on it, he's going to do something, he's going to become that person, he's going to really try. And he went in and he became the Netziv. They said, what would be with my Sefer HaYemek Dover if I wouldn't have gone in? What would have been, etc. I want you to think of that concept where you sit there and you say to yourself, what's going to be if I don't say yes? What's going to be? I can still tell you for myself. And I wish that I could bring myself back to that moment because you forget these things. But I wish I could bring myself straight back there and do it. It was my first year in yeshiva, the second year in yeshiva, the beginning of my second year in yeshiva, and a Rebbe in yeshiva was talking to all of us about drinking and why it's bad, etc., and going into why people shouldn't do it. I still remember, you know, what had happened the night before. It was a Thursday night and people were drinking all night. I remember it was a big issue, and I was sitting down, and the Rebbe pointed me out as an example. There's a Rebbe that knew me well, that I'd been in his shir for a couple months then, but he had known me from the year before, and he used me as the example, and he said, let's give Tzvi as an example. He said, Tzvi's going to be here in yeshiva for this year. He's going to leave after Pesach or after the year's over, and he's going to go into business. He's going to be a successful businessman, and he's going to learn on the side, because he has that thing to him, and he'll finish shas, and he'll do Chumash. Even then, I was into Chumash, and I loved Chumash, and I loved Bikiyas. So you're going to do shots, you're going to do Chumash, you're going to finish it, and you're going to work, and you're going to have an unbelievable time. You know, you'll make money, you'll give tzedakah, and you'll do all that. And everything will work out well for you. But don't you want more? Don't you want to have a little bit more than just that? And I sat there, and I I don't know if he meant to use me as an example on purpose. I don't know if it was just an accident, but I can tell you right there is when something clicked inside me and I said, oof, what does that mean? I could have taken it as, that's a pretty good life. I mean, you're guaranteeing me riches and happiness. I mean, I guess that's going to be pretty good. Other than that, I said to myself, well, can I do more? Can I become more than that? I'd never been into Ian up until that point. I said, but maybe I can. Maybe I can get into halacha a little bit. Maybe I can. And I spoke to him afterward and I said, why did you use me as an example? And he said, just came to him. And I stopped and I said to myself, is that what I want? Is that who I want to be? Am I just relegated to a life where I'll learn for an hour on the side and maybe, you know, an hour and a half if I get lucky? And on a Labor Day weekend, you know, when I have a whole weekend off, is that when I'm going to add on to my learning? Or am I just going to, you know, there's baseball to play, football drafts to be had, there's barbecues, 2 days of barbecues. What's my life going to be like? Who am I? And it got me thinking. And I didn't make any decisions then. I made no decisions then. But I thought to myself, you know what? I want more. And I did it. I did it. I didn't become that person. I don't know if I'm in the right position now. Maybe after 120, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say, you're supposed to be that other guy. I don't know. I'm hoping not, but maybe that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to tell me. But I did it. I did not have this expectation of myself to become a Rebbe in a yeshiva. That wasn't my expectation. But I said to myself, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And maybe that, right in of itself, maybe that's it. Maybe that's all I needed to do. I just needed to make that click and say to myself, I'm ready. I want to work on something. Any druggie knows this. As anyone who's done drugs before, it takes 1 second to do, it takes 1 second to go off. And I know what you're thinking, wait, hold on a second, 1 second to do, I get, the 1 second to go off, that's not true, you gotta work on it, work on it, work on it. Any druggie knows, if you take your time to go off it, it will never work. You will never go off it. You can't say, alright, I'll go down from 5 times to 4 times and then to 3 times. No, it will always remain 5 times. You'll never be able to bring it down. You have to go cold turkey and be done with it. Be done with it. Anybody who smoked knows that this concept is there as well, though it's not as much because it's difficult to gauge when you're dealing with something which is technically legal. You know that there's, you can lower it and lower it and lower it, but as long as you keep going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it can build itself up to 2, 3, 4, 5. And it does it so quickly. But if you stop, you stop, and you say to yourself, I'm never doing this ever again, that has a very high effective rate. And I know, but you can go back to it, you can't just quit cold turkey, and I know there's hard things to do, and when it comes to tshuva, we want to build ourselves up little by little by little. I'm not talking about those concepts. I'm saying to turn yourself into a person that you really want to be. It takes a split second decision to say, I'm going to do it, and I'm not pushing it off, I want to be matara myself. Then you work on the levels to bring yourself up. But the decision has to be, I see myself as X, and I'm going to be X. Make that decision. Put that in your head. Allow that to be there. And that's what it means. Yeshkon olam v'shalachas. Do you think it was easy for that guy to jump into the fire after Rechanan ibn Shadyan? Sure, Rechanan ibn Shadyan guaranteed him a chelik olam haba. You think it was easy for him to kill himself to get that chelik olam haba? Think that's easy for anyone? For a person to realize and then know that he has to sacrifice the rest of his life because of it? That he's not going to have what he thought he was going to have? It's so hard. You got to make a decision. Look at yourself. See where you can be. Picture yourself as something. If you want to be Mashkiach, let's go to Yeshiva. It's yours. It is 100% yours. Come grab it from me. Take it. I would love to hear Shmuzin from Talmidim. Would love it. Not you, Dov, but everybody else. Everybody else. I want it. I want it so badly. Try. Put yourself in there. Listen to that shofar blast in the morning and say to yourself, where am I going? What am I doing? Is this the end game, or do I have a possibility of working even harder? Can I get myself way past my regular borders, my boundaries, and make myself into a greater person than I ever or anyone ever thought that I could be? Do it. Make that decision and do it. Yesh kono olamo v'shoa achas. There are people that are able to be kona their entire world in that shoa achas. Who knows what can be? Who knows? Stop with that, guys. Have a good day.